Good morning, everyone. We have just ended a men's retreat that was very, very powerful. There were 9 of us, I think, from Jubilee there, and 3 incredible speakers. And I tell you, I was challenged. Every time one of them spoke, it was challenging. They presented something to put us on the spot. The pastor from Winnipeg, Leon Fontaine, he kept saying, "I don't want to offend you, but here's where we've got to go as a church. We can't stay where we are. It's not working like it. The promises of God are not working in the church, at least not in North America." Did you know that North America is the only continent where Christianity is not growing right now? I said right now because it's coming. I have every confidence that God is preparing His church for a move of God like we've never seen in the history of the church in this nation. We've had visitations of God, but it's time for a deluge of God's presence in His church today. I believe it. Amen. And I believe we need to be able to speak to that and say, "Yes, Lord." So I'm excited about what we heard yesterday. Maybe next Sunday one or two of the guys can share, give them a little head start on that, and share just a minute or two of what we really were challenged to become. In the heart. It was a message aimed at the heart. Now, last Sunday, when Pastor Ralph shared, I was going to say something else today, but when he shared and laid for the last 2 Sundays the foundation, knowing who God is and knowing who I am. Powerful, powerful. I wanted to take it from there and I call it 5 Steps to a Healthy Church. 5 Steps to a Healthy Church. And I'm looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. But because nowadays we have so many different translations, so many different Bibles. Did you hear about the man who went to the Seaway Mall? He went into the Super S Drugs there, or one of the drugstore, and he said, "I'd like to get some eye patch." Well, he had a sore eye. And they sent him down to Future Shop to get some to look at the eye pads over at Super Shop. We live in a funny day, man. So things have changed a lot, and the church has changed, and we understand that. The approach has changed. I looked around at over 400 men yesterday. Pastor, did you know I stood out, Pastor Al? I was the only person that didn't have on jeans. I got to have a pair, but I thought, I'm not going to wear jeans for the whole day. I don't like jeans, really, but I've got to get me a pair of jeans for next year. November 6th and 7th, I think, is the men's retreat. And I don't want to be outstanding because I don't have on a pair of jeans. Things have changed. Amen? Yeah. And we have to understand that. But there are certain things that have not changed. They will not change. They're established. And I just feel that there are 5 things I want to share with you this morning. I love Dr. Phil. Anybody watch Dr. Phil? Yeah. I think we should watch him. He's good. But he has an expression. He sits with you. Talks to you and hears your, and he looks at you and says, "How's that working for you?" And if it was working, they wouldn't be there. You can be sure of that. And I've learned to ask that question we're ahead of ourselves here. A question that we should all be asked. Your Christian life, your relationship with God, how's it working for you? How's that working for you? 5 steps to a healthy church. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 9, I'm coming back to Paul because I'm dealing with Paul today. And here's what Peter wrote. He said, "But anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind indeed." And Paul talks to young Timothy, and we'll come there in a minute, and he talks about these additions to faith to go after. He says, "And these additions to faith is blind indeed, or at least very short-sighted, and has forgotten that God delivered him from the old life of sin so that now he can live a strong," say strong, "a strong, good life for the Lord." Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this morning, how's that working for you? Put up the first one there, Jody, for me. How's that working for you? No, sorry. Go back to that, the first click. Okay. How is that working for you in your relationship with God? I have a little thing I do when I'm counseling. I say from 1 to 10. 1 is not good. 10 is perfect. In your relationship with God, where are you? Don't tell me. Don't tell anybody. Just where are you? Okay, the next one. In your relationship with your spouse, their relationship with your children, those who are closest to you, how's that working for you? A low or a 10? I know some of you had 10s. God bless you. Okay, the third one. In your relationship at school or at work, how's it working for you? Will you score that as low, or will you score it as high? Okay. The next one. In your relationship at church. Okay. Get up there quickly. How's that working for you with other Christians? I love this. To live above with those we love. Oh, that will be glory. To live below with those we know, that's a whole different story. Right? How is that working for you? And the next one is this. Your finances, your future. Where's that? That low, is that okay? Would you put a high number there? And the last one, your sense of peace or fulfillment. On the night the angels announced that a Savior was born, the word was peace on earth. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. And often, in fact, most of the time, when our number is high, up in the 8s and 9s and 10s, it's because of a production of peace, of coming forth out of a peace, a heart of peace, a mind of peace, a life of peace. Amen? Are we there? Understand what I'm saying? So in this, I would ask this question again this morning. How is that working for you? How is that working for you? Paul said, Timothy, I want to show you what God can do with your life, but you have to line up with some basic rules, steps or rules. Five rules, five steps that lead to a healthy church. So we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Pastor Rob, do you have the mic there with you still? Okay, could you turn that on? I'd like you to help me. I just thought of this last night, so I didn't make any preparation for this. Let's put, go ahead one more, please. Okay, right there. I want you to look and listen as we read this portion for these five steps. First one, be strong. Be strong. Stay with me.
Be strong.
Number two,
be committed.
Number three,
be faithful.
Number four,
be tough.
Number five,
be submissive.
I want you to see these as we go through this portion this morning. Okay, we're going to go to the Amplified. We're going to put the Amplified up there. And here's what I want you to do, and join Pastor Ralph. Is going to leave everything in brackets. I want you to say. Pastor Ralph got that? You just say anything in brackets, say it, and I'm going to read the rest of it. Okay. So you, my son, be strong.
Strengthened inwardly.
In the grace.
Spiritual.
That is.
To be found only.
In Christ Jesus. Now, not too many of you are talking.
Man, I'm bad.
Come on, I need to hear your voice. Huh?
I'm messing up leading. Sorry.
No, you're doing good. Right. You're doing good. I just want this to sink into our hearts this morning. Let's do it again, verse 1.
Okay.
Or verse, yeah. So you, my son, be strong.
Strengthened inwardly.
In the grace.
Spiritual blessing.
That is.
To be found only.
In Christ Jesus. And the
instructions
which you have heard from me along with many witnesses, transmit and entrust
as a deposit
to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. Take
with me
your share of the hardships and sufferings
which you are called to endure
as a good
first class
soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of
civilian
life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. And if anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully. That is,
fairly according to the rules laid down.
Fairly according to the rules laid down. That's there. Go ahead.
It is.
The hardworking farmer
who labors to produce,
who must be the first partaker of the fruits. Think over these things I am saying.
Understand them and grasp their application.
For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's powerful. And I find in there five steps. You may find more. Five steps that I have heard over the last two Sundays as our pastor has shared about knowing who we are and knowing who God is and knowing who we are in God. Hallelujah. I need some amens this morning. Amen. It's exciting to hear God's people say, I agree with that. Might not like it, but I agree with it. Amen. So the last verse, think over these things I'm saying, understand them, grasp their application, for the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First one, be strong. Say that with me. Be strong. So my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I have to admit something to you. 3 years of Bible college and 42 years of pastoring, I never really saw that, what it really says. I always thought it says, be strong in the Lord. Did you ever see that? Paul said, be strong in the Lord. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. When we first came, we shared with you about the restoration of the church. Remember how Martin Luther came and the revelation came to restore justification or salvation by faith to the church. And then the Baptist came and adult baptism and then the healing ministries and separation and holiness. And just wave after wave it came to restore the church. And the church was doing good. But I think God looked at the church and said, it needs an infusion of power. Say power.
Power.
It needs an infusion of power. And at the turn of the century, the 20th century, you know the story, God poured out of His Spirit. And the great Pentecostal movement was born. Some estimate that it's 550 million people have been touched and experienced the power of God in this outpouring. Peter said, this is that on the day of Pentecost. From Joel, he says, this is that was prophesied. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit. But many prophecies have double fulfillments, the former and the latter. So in the turn of the century, the 1900s, we had the second wave of the Holy Ghost power, and something happened in the church, in the world. Amen? And it grew. And it went like that tree that all the birds came and gathered in. And we had this great movement of God. And then God said, you know, the people need some joy. They need some joy in those Pentecostals. And He raised up the charismatics, the crazy charismatics. Remember that book by Demas Shakari, The Happiest People on Earth? And it was. It brought joy back into the church again. Brought joy. And we had some wonderful visitations of God. And then we had, God looked and said, you know, the faith level of those people. Of all my church on earth, the faith level. And He raised up the faith movement. Hallelujah. And He raised up the movement, give revelation about what you say, the power of our words. It's all there in God's Word. He refreshed His people again and again, those who would open their hearts to it and begin to listen. But God saw something, because He's God. He saw a lot of people in the church who were drifting back into works. Paul dealt with it. I don't think Paul was dealing with this in 2 Timothy just for his day. Because Paul was dealing a lot with people called Judaizers who were saying, we've got to go back. We've got to keep 613 laws. We've got to keep the Sabbath. We thank God for His salvation in Christ, but we've got to, and His word, that most of Galatians, parts of Colossians, parts of Ephesians dealt with this. It is not by works which we have done, it is by His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God began to come against in His own way. He poured out the revelation of grace. I think I said it when we first came, that God is showing to the church, at least the North American church, the revelation of grace. Hallelujah. And great ministries are growing today because of grace. The truth of grace. The revelation of grace. There's one young man, and you probably watch him on television. Some may like him, some may not. His name is Joseph Prince. And he said, I started preaching salvation. I started preaching Holy Ghost power. I started preaching miracle. We saw them. He said the church grew to 2,000. He said, and one day God spoke to me. He said, I couldn't seem to get it past 2,000. Then God showed me this revelation of His grace. He said, I began to preach and teach His grace. And in no time it went to 20,000. Amen. 20,000. I think if you ever listen to Joel Osteen, you'll hear grace in there. You'll hear hope. You'll hear mercy. A lot of people judging that because they said it's too much one-sided. Well, let me say this. I think this here is an answer. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we just went over the Grand River a few times yesterday. And I was just a quick look at it and thought, looks a little cleaner down here. Less muddy than it does down here at the mouth. Right? But it's a strong river. And I thought, it's strong because it has banks. It's strong. Water is healthy when it is in banks. And those banks control it. But if that water gets too much rain on it, too much flood and ice melting, you know what, you folk from around here know what happened when the Grand River goes over its banks. Amen. Remember the destruction. That same water that brought life brought a lot of damage. And hear what Paul is saying here. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in grace. Don't let it become a flood. Keep understanding what the grace is all about. And this is a word I believe is for the Church of Jesus Christ today. To understand grace. To embrace grace. He didn't say have an abundance of grace. He didn't say study an overflowing grace. He said be strong in the grace. Because here's what I believe the Spirit of God would say to us. If we are not strong in grace, we will have grace without repentance. If we are not strong in grace, we'll have confession without conviction. Hear me now. If we're not strong in grace, we'll have Christianity without holiness. Because there'll be water flowing over the sides of the banks. And it becomes sloppy grace. Come on. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. And I'll go to number two. Number two, I read in this, be committed. Be committed. Now, we can go in many directions in this, but I want to ask you, are you committed first to your spouse? Be committed to your children. Be committed to others. What is the common denominator of these three lines? Okay. What can you not see that is the common denominator in those three lines? And what are people? Just click it once for me, Judy. What are people? People are the only thing that are eternal. God's love, of course, but people. Be committed to that which is eternal. Did you know your homes are not eternal? Did you know your cars? I know some of you guys, you think your trucks are eternal, but your trucks are not eternal. Our physical bodies will be changed. Sorry to tell you ladies, but your faces are not eternal. Sorry, hon. I'd love to see that all through eternity, but I think we will know each other by our spirit, not by our physical. Can you imagine if we got to heaven and we knew each other and knew this was my wife of 46 years almost, and somebody walked by some other saint and looked at her? It's going to be something we can't understand, right? But what is eternal needs a commitment. That which is eternal needs our focus, our dedication, our commitment to. And our hearts reach out to that. I think it was William Booth with the Salvation Army who first coined this little statement. Others, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. Let me live my life for others, that I might live for thee. And it's a proven truth. Those who live for others are the happiest people on earth. Amen?
Yes.
If you are in a little bit of a slump, a little bit of discouragement, a little bit feeling that nothing's happening in your life or nothing's happening in your relationship with God, I want to just challenge you. Find someone and pour your life into for a while. And doors will open for you. And something will start to happen in your heart. Don't live your entire life just for yourself. It's a very hard, lonely, and discouraging life. Amen? Say amen, and I'll go to point number three.
Amen.
Number three, he says, be faithful. Be faithful. Find faithful people. Find faithful men who will pour what I pour into you, Timothy. You pour it into them. And here's what Jesus said in a couple of his parables. He says, on that day when we stand in his presence, he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I know we've heard this before. But folks, sometimes we need just a reminder of what we really believe and what we give our lives for and what we stand on.
Yeah.
When Pastor Rav laid the foundation for the last two Sundays, I said, I just felt it. I was sitting there last Sunday. That I've got to go here because this needs now to be laid out carefully. This needs now to be laid out on top of that foundation and a reminder of what's really important. Faithfulness.
Yeah.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is not looking primarily for gifted people, but faithful people. Ask any pastor. Pastor Ralph, would you like this church to be filled with talented people? I mean, we saw talented people yesterday. That what they put on for us, about 400 men, I said to Pastor Ralph, you know, this could serve 5,000 men today. The quality, the gift and stuff.
Yeah.
Would we like this church filled with gifted and talented people? Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Would we like this church filled with influential people who will just say to anybody, come and visit me to church on Sunday, and they'll come because they have that kind of influence. Amen.
Amen.
How about that? How about some rich people? Got some bills to pay. Let's fill our church with, what did I say? Rich people.
Yeah,
but what good is all that if they're not faithful?
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
Faithfulness. And that's why Jesus singled it out. He says, at the judgment seat, that will be one of the things that I will reward people for, being faithful. Good and faithful. Not bad and faithful. Good and faithful. Amen?
Yep.
Good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Let me just throw three things up there. Because I have to go with what I hear. Faithful in marriage. Faithful in finances. Faithful in promises.
Yeah.
A long time ago, God heard that cry of a man's heart, Dr. James Dobson. And he raised up Focus on the Family. Thank God for that ministry, and there are many others. And then God said, you know, my people need to get out of debt. They need to take their money more seriously. And he began to deal with finances. And God raised up. You can hear him. 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock every afternoon, WDCX 99.5 FM. Dave Ramsey speaking to the church saying, get out of debt. Get your finances in order. Amen. And the other one is faithful in promises. And God raised up a mighty ministry called Promise Keepers. I want to hear faithful in these. I really do. I want to hear faithful. Well done. Well done. You've been faithful in those areas. Number four, he says, Timothy, I want you to be tough. In the King James, it says, Timothy, learn to endure hardness. Learn to put up with things that are not comfortable, not easy. For this is not a hard message to preach. This point is not hard to preach in Africa or in some of the countries of the world where they have paid the price in the Middle East. Where today, if you are a Christian, you will be persecuted and maybe have your life taken from you because of what you believe. But in southern Ontario, we don't know what hardness is, really. The neighbor ran over my lawn with his car. Got very upset. I have to put up with that kind of stuff, you know? How dare he run over my lawn? How dare people... But listen, folks, I believe a lot of stuff that's happening in Christian lives today, in their homes, in their marriages and relationships, is to get us tough for what's coming. To make us stronger. That regardless of what happens, we're going to stand firm. We're not going to back away. We're not going to give in. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to say that God doesn't care because I'm not getting my answer. We need to get our tolerance level. Lord talked to me about this years ago, that we need to pray that our tolerance level rises just a little. Because sometimes we've got a very low tolerance level. First few years of marriage, you gotta get your tolerance level up a little. Relationships, I believe God is saying to His church, and especially because I'm here at Jubilee, to this church, get a little tougher. Endure hardship a little. Don't look for the easy way out all the time. Okay, you don't agree. Do you? Endure hardness. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because soldiers... and chosen by their country to be soldiers, to defend their country, they don't get entangled in everything else. That He may please Him who has chosen Him to be a soldier. Now, who has chosen us to be a soldier? So let's please Him. Amen? Let's please Him. That doesn't mean we don't get involved in life. That's not what He's talking about. He's saying that when you've got a job to do for God, you focus on that and understand that that's what God wants you to do. Touch lives. Change lives. Minister your power, His power, His anointing through you. Amen? And do it with us. So be tough. I'm understanding this. We got home last night. I got home, I think about 10:30. And I went over these and I said, Lord, there's so much more I can say on each of these slides. And you know what He said to me? I believe He said to me, He said, you just do your part. I'll do mine. Amen. So if you hear something I don't say today, it's okay. It may be just the Holy Spirit taking that arrow and just... One guy drew a picture of me. He says, you're like an archer. I preached in fact about the archer, the arrow. And you draw a picture. He says, you're like the archer. Pastor, those arrows are hitting me. I said, praise the Lord. You can either say, ouch or oh my. But... Be tough. That's a word I believe God wants us to hear. Be tough. Don't be a pouting Christian. Come on now. Don't be a pouting Christian. Murmuring Christian. Do you know why the children of Israel were called the children of Israel? Because they were always murmur, 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 murmur. See that little one back there? And there are but one or two. No. Da-da. No. You know? Murmur. I want you to hear this. Murmur is an utterance of a child. And they were called the children of Israel because of their murmur, 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 murmur. Okay. I hope you remember that. Lower your expectations of others and heighten your appreciation for them. Oh, that That has taken so much pressure off of me over the years in pastoring and having a staff. And I remember going into, this was back in Calgary. I remember exactly where it happened. I was went in through the door to the office. I was going up the stairs, and I had some expectations of some of the staff members, and I just knew it wasn't going to happen that day. And I felt like an anger rising up in me. It was an unrighteous anger, Pastor. It happens. You know? And all of a sudden, I heard these words, lower your expectations and appreciate them more. Because that's how you'll get it done. I don't mean that when it comes to your children, you have expectations. You hold on to those expectations. You ask, right? But you will know as a witness in your spirit when you've been just getting angry and frustrated over stuff you shouldn't be frustrated about. Lower your expectation. Number five, this word, nobody likes this word, submissive. It is not a nice word. But in the context that Paul gives it here, you know what he's saying? Be submissive to the rules. And that's I wanted to use that, and I didn't know what other word to use. Be submissive to the rules. Live by the rules. Do you remember a few years ago, quite a few now, when Canada was so proud of a gold medal won by the fastest man on earth? Came from Jamaica, but he was a Canadian. He ran for Canada and won gold. The fastest man on earth. Ben Johnson. We were so proud for about a week. He didn't run by the rules. He won the race. And Paul said, even if you win the race, but you don't run according to the rules, you'll be disqualified. And he wasn't just disqualified, he was totally embarrassed and embarrassed us as a nation. Look at Lance Armstrong. He was on Sports Illustrated front cover as the athlete of the century. Get that? Of the century. 7, 8 Tour de France wins. He didn't play by the rules. Now, yet last week, one of our, I didn't know we had cyclists in Canada, but one of the top cyclists in Canada, he just revealed that he was cycling under the influence of drugs. It's embarrassing. You all honestly have to ask, are there any real honorable athletes out there anymore? Yes, they are. Amen? Yes, they are. We can't lose hope in that. But this word here is play by the rules. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Come on, I want you to think this through. What is Paul saying to Timothy and to us? Live the Christian life by the rules. Pardon? God's will, God's way. Anybody else? Be honorable in your Christian. Let's bring it down now, not to riding bikes or running races, but living the Christian life at home, living the Christian life at school, at work, living the Christian life here on a Sunday morning when you meet with God's people. What's he saying? What is playing by the rules? Integrity. Any others? Obedience. Loving. Mean that Jesus said he summed up everything, didn't he? He said, of all the rules, of all the laws, of all the commandments, I'm going to give you a new one here now. This is before he left, John 14. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That you love one another. I'm going to say something here. If we here at Jubilee Faith, this Sunday morning, the first Sunday of November, if we would make a commitment to play by the rule of love, and love one another with the love. I mean, we heard the words that John led us in this more powerful, powerful word. If we would live our lives by this love, this church would multiply and multiply and multiply because people are looking for the integrity and the genuineness of Christian love. But the world out there sees too much phoniness. Christians who have a profession but no possession. I believe that is here. I do believe it. I've been with you here for 7 months now. And I'm impressed with the genuineness, the faith, all the things that I've seen it here in this church. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And what we've been saying, in fact, last Wednesday night, you want to come to a good prayer meeting, join us at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. But what we felt was, okay, this church has sown into ministries all over the world, given sacrificially, again and again and again. The reason why you've had the best speakers in the world speak here in this church is because you have given so freely. And they've come. They want to come and participate and bless you back. It's time to call in your harvest. It's time to call in the seed. The seeds have been sown. So I heard Billy Burke a week ago. He was saying he had a privilege of going to visit with Oral Roberts in his home, in his living room. I've never had that invitation, and I would love to have visited with him. But before he died, he had the privilege of going. He says, and I felt in my heart to take a sizable gift. He didn't tell us how much it was. A sizable gift to Brother Roberts and to his ministry. He said, when he got there, he says, Brother Roberts, I have a gift for you. And Brother Roberts said, I'm not interested in your gift. If you want to give me a gift, I am not interested. He said, but if you want to sow a seed, I'll take it. Because gifts don't get a return, but seeds always have a response. Isn't that a good? Like, that was a good word. This church has sown seeds. It's time to reap. Hallelujah. It's time to reap a harvest. It is time to reap. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. I believe it's time to reap a harvest. I just want to say another thing, too. I was talking to someone this past week, and he used the word. Sometimes you've got to go to Tim Hortons, to get a word. I believe God raised up Tim Hortons for fellowship. I don't know. But anyhow, coffee is horrible, but that's it. My personal opinion, I'm entitled to it. Anyhow, and this person used the word momentum. And I've been praying for that, for faith, for Jubilee. That this church would come into a place of momentum. Now, John had momentum this morning. Okay? Amen? Momentum. And it's not just the physical moving, but it's when you know something's stirring in your heart. You just know it's real. And you want to bring it into God's house on a Sunday morning. And I tell you, people will come just to see us because we're excited about God. Yes. Amen? Yes. Momentum. Hallelujah. Did I lose my notes? I am actually falling apart. You know what? That may be a word saying, would you just shut up? No, you've had enough time. Okay, I've got just a few more slides here. And this is this last point here. Every environment requires a code of conduct by which you enter and remain in it. Every environment.
Yes.
Play by the rules. On a scale of 1 to 10. Come on. Are you playing by the rules? Are you doing it God's way? 1 Timothy 4:6, if you put the brethren and the sisters, of course, in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Pastor Leon Fontaine said this. He didn't say it in these words. I had these written down a long time ago by a man named Vance Havner, a great thinker. And he said this, most Christians are so subnormal that if someone gets normal, he gets called abnormal. That is absolutely true. We are living such inferior lives as far as our Christianity and being Spirit-filled, anointed, Holy Ghost, gifts operating, fruit of the Spirit. That if somebody gets excited, they say, what's the matter with him? Before we click on the next slide there, I want you to leave it there for a minute, and I'll call for that next slide. I have a word for Pastor Ralph. I'm going to speak to him as the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy. I'm just going to two chapters on. I'm not going to give my own thoughts, though, Pastor. I'm going to take a word from Paul to Timothy and give it through me to you. Because I came to speak into your life and to the leadership here at this church. I want you to hear it. I want you to see it. Okay, Jody, let's go to that next slide. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pastor Ralph, go out and preach the word. Go whether it's an opportune time or not. Reprove, warn, and encourage, but do so with all the patience and instruction needed to fulfill your calling. Because a time will come when some will no longer tolerate sound teaching. Instead, they will live by their own desires. They'll scratch their itching ears by surrounding themselves with teachers who approve of their lifestyles and tell them what they want to hear. I tell you, we didn't hear what we wanted to hear yesterday. And that's why it's got a fire burning in me and in Pastor Ralph and the guys who went. That's why I want to hear from some of the younger guys who went yesterday. I want to hear what it did to. I know what it did to me. That you've got to stop just playing church and get serious with God. And here's what he says. They'll scratch their ears by having these people around them. They will turn away from the real truth you have to offer, because they prefer the sound of fables and myths. But you, Pastor Ralph, must stay focused and be alert at all times. Tolerate suffering. Here it is. Get tough. Same thing he said in chapter 2. Accomplish the good work of an evangelist and complete the ministry to which you have been called.
Amen.
You receive that?
Yes.
We speak that to you today. And I know that the board of this church, your wife and Pastor Frieda and Nick and Pastor Bob and Lorraine and all the board, we stand behind you.
Amen.
We stand behind
yes.
you. We're going to see something happen at
yes.
Jubilee Faith. Amen? Because there was one sentence that the first time I ever preached, I was 16 years of age, I got saved, and the pastor said, we're going up behind the jail with a Volkswagen van, an open van. He says, and Peter, you're preaching. And I found this scripture and I preached on it. At least I fumbled my way through. But Nehemiah, he was tempted by Sanballat and Tobiah. They're building the walls of Jerusalem. And they were mocking him and laughing him and said, it's not like it was before. You know, a little fox jumping over that wall will tear it down. And so they couldn't get him to stop. So the messenger said, saying, come and meet with us in one of the valleys of Ono. Never meet in a valley called Ono. Come and meet with us in the valley of Ono. And he said, but they thought to do me harm. And this is the answer. This is what he sent back to them, Sanballat and Tobiah. He says, you tell them, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to your level? Pastor Ralph, don't get off the wall. There's a work to be done. There's a work that's being done. Amen. Okay, put that last slide up for me. Let me ask you if you would do this one more time. Scale of 1 to 10. Are you strong in grace? Are you strong in grace? Let's put them all up. Just click them all for me. Are you strong in your commitment? Are you strong in your commitment? Are you strong in your faithfulness? I tell you, if there's a church that I know that should win a few gold medals, individuals for faithfulness, and if I'm standing behind you in that line, I'm expecting on that day to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, a few years ago, Diane Sawyer, she was interviewing Billy Graham. It was a few years ago. And very respectfully, she said to him, Reverend Graham, when you stand before God, what do you think he's going to say to you? And this great man of God, he said, Diane, I hope, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I doubt it. And I said, Billy Graham said he doubted that? That's that, but that's humility. That's really a heart of humility. I want to hear that. 1 to 10, how are you at your toughness? I don't know why that thing about pouting. I think it rang in some people's hearts. And if it rang in your heart, I want you to embrace it and say, I'm not going to be a pouting Christian anymore. Okay? I'm not going to be a pouting Christian. And be submissive. Play by the rules. You know a great place to find the rules? Called the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. I'm very, 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 very concerned that in the Christian environment, oh my God, is becoming acceptable. If you're talking to him, it's not a swear. It's not taking his name in vain. But if you are not talking to him, if you are just impressed or surprised, then it's taking his name in vain. Amen. Another thing I'm concerned about that I've seen over the years is Christians thinking that they can tell a lie if it gets them out of trouble, because it was God's way of getting them out of trouble. Listen, God will never tell you to lie to get you out of the trouble that you're in. He'll tell you to go back to that place of disobedience and there obey. And get the blessing of God back on your life again. Amen? It's all there, folks. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? We've had our time of worship. We've had communion. And now if you want to just say, Lord, however you want to close this, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you speak to me, Lord? Would you give the Holy Spirit the right to just speak a word into your heart now? Would you speak to me, Lord? Anything that spoke, anything that challenged me, anything that got my attention today, whether it was in the song service, during the communion, it's just a time of waiting, the word. Lord, would you speak to me? Would you give me the strength to obey? Yes. To walk in obedience to what you're saying to me today? While our heads are bowed, I just want to remind you of the, in Acts, it says the apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, was on his way to Damascus. A bright light, he was knocked to the ground. He was blinded. And God spoke to him. Why are you fighting against me, Saul? And Saul asked two questions. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Lord, what will you have me to do? Would you ask that this morning as we leave? Lord, what would you have me to do? But what you've stirred my heart with today. I had to answer that question last night when I got home. Lord, I've had a day and a night of teaching, of challenge, of truth. What will you have me to do about that, Lord? And now, Lord, your people here in Jubilee Faith are asking this question. Lord, what will you have me to do about what I've heard and felt today in my spirit? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. While our heads are bowed this morning before we close, I don't think it would be right to just, even though I believe we know everyone here, but if there's someone this morning who would say, before we leave, would you pray for me that I can have the peace of God in my heart? Maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you've already asked Him into your heart, but it's not real. You're not sure about your salvation. You don't have the assurance that if you died today, you would go to heaven. And you want to have that peace in your heart. Is there anyone? Just say, would you pray for me? Just raise your hand and I'll be so happy to pray with you this morning before we close. Is there anyone? Would you pray for me, Pastor? Okay. Father, thank you again for your wonderful presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes such real to our hearts now. And as we go in fellowship and just in the cafe, we just pray your blessing. May we talk about your goodness and your love in our life.